like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to a Cross Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is Kurt Woodsmith. You remember me from such TV comedies as That 70s Show and That 90s Show on Netflix. I'll never forget the words that my grandfather said just before he kicked the bucket. He said, "Watch how far I can kick this bucket." People ask me where I get my dad jokes from. I tell them to listen to the Daily Dad Jokes podcast. Listen to Daily Dad Jokes every day on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids. Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast, and I had the opportunity to talk to one of Hollywood's major icons, Michael B. Jordan. In our conversation, Michael shares the highs, the lows, and everything in between, offering a genuine glimpse into his world.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. People give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. The
more they tell you love it. I get more nervous in this room than anywhere else.
It's on your radio right now.
Do you know how to pop that coochie for a good
one? There you go.
It's the world's most dangerous morning show.
Got the cameras, I'm out of
Charlamagne Tha God.
I'm a lovable asshole.
And this is The Breakfast Club, bitches.
Yo. Good morning, Angela Yee.
Hey, good morning, DJ Envy.
Charlamagne Tha God.
Beast of the Planet, it's Friday!
Yeah, it's Friday.
You
it's freaky, freaky,
know
freaky
it's Friday.
And today is my anniversary with my baby, my
so
wife.
So it's a really freaky, freaky Friday.
That's
for you.
Right.
What's it, 22 years?
No. Pretty close, 15.
Okay.
15 years.
Does she know about the surprise unicorn you got her?
No, she doesn't know, but you just told her.
Oh.
So happy anniversary, you got a surprise unicorn and then lube the horn of the unicorn. And
why
then
you what's in your there? Mouth, though? That's the real question.
A unicorn
okay.
horn.
Now, on today's show, we have comedian Dion Cole. Tell us about Dion.
Now, I know you probably don't know Dion Cole. Charlie from Black-ish.
Right.
Oh, okay.
All right. Anthony Anderson's black friend at the job. All right. It's my guy. Good, funny guy.
And he's on this show, Angie Tribeca, also.
Yes.
Okay. We also have our resident sexologist, Angela Yee's best buddy, Michelle Hope.
Yeah,
Michelle,
she helps me actually with a lot of things that I have questions about. And she's made me realize certain, you know what, I'm not even going to say that.
No, say
I was
going to
say certain diseases aren't as bad as they seem, but.
What?
I don't know. It's weird. It's weird.
Why are y'all having a conversation
right now?
About certain diseases not being as bad as they seem?
Because we were just talking about certain things. And you know, in your head, you're like, oh my God, that person has herpes. I would never. But then
what?
She's
yes,
but
you
then
should
she
never.
Said, but then she says, you know what? The thing about herpes is some people could have it and never ever have an outbreak in life. And she said you could have an outbreak one time and never get it again.
All right. I think
and I didn't know that.
I think that when it comes to that, you need to go seek a second opinion. I don't think Michelle knows what you're talking about when it comes to that.
It is true.
But we're going to talk to her in a little bit. All right, now, shout out to our newest family member, Boston, again, Jamie 94.5. Good morning, Boston. What up to you guys? Now, tell them why you're mad. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, you can call us right now. We'll put you live on the air, and you can tell us all your problems. So, again, 800-585-1051. Tell them why you're mad. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Your man on the road, hey, yo, this is Mad Rapper. Good morning, yo, for real. I'm going to tell you why I'm mad. For real, man. Hey, yo, my girl keep coming home smelling like Polo Cologne. So, like that ain't for girls. Like, I know something's going on, for real. Like I'm heated about that. And now I need y'all to tell me why y'all mad. Why you mad? On The Breakfast Club, for real.
This is Stefan from Jacksonville, Florida.
Hey, what's up, bro? Tell them why you mad.
Yo, I'm mad when people be coming to work, want to act like they're the manager, and you getting paid the same minimum wage we getting paid.
You got to tell them to relax, bro.
I want to tell them like you tell them, just shut the F up forever.
That's all, man. Sometimes you just got to tell people, shut the F up forever,
just
bro.
Hope you can fight if you say that, though.
I'm not worried about it. Okay. It's a second job. It's a part-time job.
All right. Hello, who's this?
Yo, what's good? It's Mike.
Mike, tell them why you mad.
Yo, I'm mad at y'all, man. Every time I got some ish, every day I call y'all. Y'all know from my ish on the radio, man.
Well, here you go.
It's supposed to be the world's most dangerous radio show.
Why would we want to put ish on the radio?
What you mean? Tell them why you mad.
I don't know why it's a place for feces on the radio.
Well, tell them why you mad, man. Go ahead. Hurry up.
I ain't mad, no. I'm just saying.
Oh, my gosh. You just wasted your tell them why you mad for nothing.
Yeah, exactly. Wasted everything, bro.
See what I be trying to tell you?
Hey, ye.
Yes?
I love you.
I love you, too.
I love you, too, baby.
Charmaine, I heard you, man.
That was envy.
That ain't me talking, so you ain't heard me.
Hello, who's this?
This is Mr. Clemens calling.
Hey, what's up, bro? Tell him why you mad.
I'm mad because we're dropping signs, and left and right, all this stuff's happening in the world. Nobody can understand it. What, do I got to write it out for you guys? Come on.
What
you want me to elaborate?
Yeah, write it out.
Elaborate, go ahead.
Plane crashes, you got this, you got that, and lack of better words, you know what I mean? I don't need to elaborate on that. See, just me talking about it's getting me amped up. I'm all pissed off.
Yo, drop one of Clue's bombs for this modern-day Nostradamus we have. You know what I'm saying? Nostradamus was actually predicting world events. This brother here said, we got this, we got that, and we need to look out for this that's coming.
That's a lot of
I'm with you, my brother.
All right, my bro.
One time for this new Nostradamus.
One time. You know how to reach me, right?
Nope.
Yes,
I don't care how to reach you. Hello, who's this?
Amazing.
This is Ty, Cincinnati.
Hey, tell them why you mad.
I'm mad because every morning on my way into work, I lose the station that plays y'all show. The closer I get to this area called Blue Ash I work in, it's gone. And I'm trying to tell my coworkers to listen, and they're like, what, this country station? I'm like,
well,
no.
You know, you could also listen on the app.
Yeah, just turn on the
iHeartRadio app, and you won't lose us at all.
That's what I do once I actually get in, but it's a small delay. So by the time I want to call and tell y'all why I'm mad, y'all already on rumors.
And you said it's on a town called Blue Ash?
Yes.
So it's a bunch of dark-skinned, ashy people there. A bunch of people so black, they almost blue. And they ashy.
Well, I'm here, and I'm, you know, nice and chocolate, so I think I'm like,
hey.
So you ashy, just not blue ashy.
Hey, right, leave
not
alone.
Not that,
You have a good morning in the blue ash, mama.
Oh, yeah.
Hello, who's this?
Man, this is Stunning, man.
Tell him why you mad, Stunning.
Birdman?
Hey, no, man, I say Stunning, man. Stunning black, man. Freak out down, man.
Why should we free Cardell?
Because it was self-defense. If somebody tell you, look, say that matter of fact, the issue that happened on White Man Can't Jump.
Did you just bring it to White Man Can't Jump?
The movie?
I like movie references. Go ahead. I like
all right, but boom. Somebody tell you, say, bro, wait till I come back. I got something for you. You going to stand right there and wait till you come back? Come on. Hey. That man let that thing go. You can't be mad at him because he let it go.
Yes, I can. Because the police use this same logic all the time. I felt threatened. I felt like he may have had something. So I killed him.
And they get off all the time. So why Cardell can't get off?
All right, you're right. I ain't going to argue. No, you're right about that. You're right.
Tell them why you're mad. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent. Call us right now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Hey, yo, good morning. Yo, this is the Mad Rapper, son, for real.
I'm mad, and I stay mad. I stay angry. I stay heated. I stay pissed off.
Tell them why you mad. Breakfast Club, let's go.
What's up? It's RJ from Toledo, Ohio.
RJ, tell them why you mad, bro.
I am mad at Josh Gordon. He cannot pass the drug test. It's hard being a Browns fan.
Damn it, man. All right.
But guess what?
What?
This year's our year.
No, it's not.
Oh, gosh.
No, it's not.
Hello, who's this?
Hello, this is Christine from Houston.
Hey, Christine, tell them why you mad.
Okay, so my homegirl tried to hook me up with her boyfriend's friend. He walks in and he looks like Rick Ross. I'm like, okay, you know, we don't have a Rick Ross fetish. Well, he come in, we get to talking, he sit down. Why he break my couch? Breaks my couch and feel like he don't need to pay it, but he still want to ask me out. I'm like, are you serious? Like, really, dude, you need to pay for my couch. I'm really thinking about taking his ass to Judge Mathis or something.
And you should have told him that Rick Ross ain't fat no more, so you don't look like Rick Ross no more, bro.
Hey, well, he was the old one. Something's going on, and I'm going to need my couch replaced. But then he's going to call me somewhere where I found you a couch. I want to give me a random couch. Like, are you serious?
Now, what kind of couch was it? Now, maybe your couch was on his last legs already.
Sound like
what
a cheap couch.
He was trying to say, but you know what? It was on all four legs, but your fat ass sat down, so it don't even matter. You need to replace it.
Thank you, Mama. Hello, who's this?
I'm mad at you guys, Envy and Angela Lee and Charlamagne, because y'all don't never answer the phone when I call.
We just answered the phone.
I know,
right,
so you
now.
Can't be mad anymore.
You got it. You got it. But Harry come in on a $20 bill. You know, I really don't know how to feel about that.
Why?
Because you still got the Caucasian man in the back of it.
So what?
You know, so it's like you really didn't. We really didn't accomplish anything. But I guess the thought is what makes it different than not doing anything at all. But that's just to be quiet for a minute. You know, Charlamagne is the ignorant person that talks, but he tell the truth. You know, it's just the way he say it that jacks it up. You know, but he tell the truth.
Oh, wow.
It's his delivery.
It's his delivery.
It's the delivery. That's what it is. But he keep it real, though.
God working on me.
Hey, amen, and I'm going to say a prayer for your brother. Y'all have a great weekend.
Thank you
too,
baby.
Man, mama. Hello, who's this?
Yo, it's your boy, Ring Williams, man, representing New Orleans 504, man. I'm mad as hell this morning.
Why are you mad, bro?
I'm mad about a few things that happened over the weekend, but, you know, I want to get into this. I'm mad as hell. I booked Chief Keef, man, for two cities in Columbus and Cincinnati, Ohio, man. I look at that rider, man, that must make me scare me, man. I gotta get extra hotels, man. I gotta get this, man. I gotta take care of radio, man. And my girlfriend asked for her girls half for free tickets. I'm mad at them, man. They gotta pay for them, man.
Well, that's your fault. That's your fault because, you know, I don't want to stop nobody from getting their money, but you know what Chief Keef represents. He represents a lot of crime.
I know,
he's a super predator.
That rider, man. That rider is crazy, man. I got to get S secured. I got to get that, man. Got to get this. I got to get these.
Well, put it like this. You think about it like this. You'll make your money back, right?
Oh, yeah, I'm doing good.
All right, then don't worry about that.
It comes with the territory.
You gotta work a little bit. You'll make your money.
You'll make your money back. Somebody will get shot in the club. It'll probably be a fight or two, but it's all right.
Don't say that, man. I need a good day, a good night, man.
Let's hope he shows up.
Yeah, man. You know what kind of energy you're investing in.
Tell them why you mad. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, call us now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Hey, yo, this is DMX. And you know what makes me mad? When ask for the truth, but can't handle the truth. All right? Now tell them why you mad on The Breakfast Club, bitches.
It'll be a good night, man. Don't worry about it. Hello, who's this?
This is MC Sniper. I'm just calling to find out how do I watch you guys live, man. I don't even know how to, like, watch you guys or anything, you know?
Where are you at? What city are you in?
Revolt TV,
I'm
bro.
I'm in Maine right now.
Maine. Revolt TV. Yeah, you got Revolt on your TV?
I don't think we on in Maine yet.
What kind of cable do you have?
I don't even have cable. I just use internet.
All right, well, then you need to use the iHeartRadio app, and you can listen live.
Okay, the iHeartRadio app. Okay, gotcha. I'll call and make some comments when I get on.
All right, we can't wait.
Hello, who's this?
Yo, this is Johnny, man, calling from Charlotte.
Johnny, Charlotte, tell him why you mad, bro.
I'm sorry, yo, I was about to slip up and cuss, but...
Hold on, you got a sexy voice this morning. Is this how you always talk?
I mean, yeah, this is my real voice.
Don't gas him, yeah. You got a more hype and stuff.
Call
him
with your quiet storm voice.
What you want, man? Why you
All
mad?
Right, boo, go ahead.
Nah, son, like...
You giggle too much to have a deep voice, man.
We're
going to
be on that weak stuff, though, for real.
Like, you giggle too much to have a weak, a deep voice like that, man.
Yo, I ain't gonna lie. It sound like you woke up high with your thumb in your butt this morning.
That's what it sound like.
Nah, son, like, I wake up listening to y'all every morning.
And we appreciate that.
I don't be having my thumb in my butt. I just be thinking my ass weak.
Well, that's so good to know.
We don't judge where you put your thumb, bro.
Nah, man. One more thing, though. Medea on the Rock was down here or whatever.
Oh, no, we didn't know
play.
That.
That's a play. Okay.
We didn't know that.
Medea on the Rock.
Medea on the Rock was down here, and they did a little tribute for Prince and everything.
Oh,
so.
That's nice.
You know, shout out to the prince or whatever.
Did he say shout out to the prince?
You should have just requested Angela Yee a song. I want to head back to sleep. Oh, yeah, my goodness.
Hello, who's this?
This is Mike.
Mike, tell him why you mad.
I'm selling one of my cars, so I was on my way to take some pictures by the beach on the parkway.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
rolled up a nice little Marley, little 2 gram. My girl called me and she starts complaining that I'm out too early and what am I doing? I posted a Snapchat driving. You know how it gets crazy. And I went to Ash and I dropped my Marley out the window and it completely ruined everything.
Why do you keep calling it a Marley? Because you're on the radio, you think you can't say blunt or joint?
Yeah, I figured I couldn't say blunt.
Well, that's
blunt,
very exciting.
Thank you for helping us out. But you can say blunt. You dropped your blunt on the highway. Did you stop and go get it?
I pulled over, but where I pulled over, there's no emergency lane because it's where the helicopters take pictures of you if you're speeding.
Well, I don't feel sorry for you because you shouldn't be smoking and driving anyway, so. I don't know why people act like smoking and driving is okay. You're still impaired, inebriated, and under the influence, whatever.
Yes and no. Some people disagree. Some people say they drive better.
Yes, you are, man. Regardless, you are. You're high and driving.
You're not supposed to be high and driving.
As far as the law is concerned, yes.
All right. Well, I'm glad you're making it to your destination without being high, sir.
That was actually God taking that blunt from you, by the way.
Tell him why you're mad. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent. Call us right now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Hey, yo, this is DMX. And you know what makes me mad? When ask for the truth, but can't handle the truth. All right? Now tell him why you mad on The Breakfast Club, bitches.
Hello, who's this?
Hi, I'm Alana in Atlanta.
Hey, Alana, tell them why you're mad.
I'm mad because I've been trying to get divorced for over a year, and my husband won't move out of the house.
Oh, my goodness. So, is the divorce taking a really long time for you two? Like, it's not happening? He doesn't want to get divorced?
Yeah, he keeps stalling it, and he tells me he doesn't have enough money to move out of the house, but he's got 2 girlfriends.
Oh, my gosh.
Your boyfriend got your husband got 2 girlfriends?
Yeah.
So why don't you just be the third? Why are you complicating this? Just be the third. You were the first, so just be a part of the team.
Don't even listen to that. So what are they saying in the court?
Well, I haven't managed to get there because his lawyer keeps stalling it and moving things back. So I haven't managed to get there.
Why don't you bring your boyfriend to come live with you?
No, you can do that.
No, I don't even have one.
Let me ask you a question. Why do you think you deserve better?
What?
What?
Maybe you're in the position God wants you to be in.
You ever
think about that? Why are you giving up so easy? You just gonna let 2 girls take your man?
Well, it's been over for a long time, but
you got fat, didn't you? Did you get fat?
No. No, I didn't. No.
What's your Facebook?
No. Why are you trying to make it seem like it's her fault?
Like it's her fault.
That her husband's a cheater.
What's your Facebook? Because I know you don't got no Instagram.
Oh, stop.
I do have Instagram.
What's your Instagram, boo?
Why? I'm not gonna tell you on the radio here.
I want to know what you look like.
She don't want you to know.
Tell him you look good. That's all. Just all he needs to know. You look good.
Allegedly.
I do look good. I'll tell you. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I think that you don't. I don't think you should be a quitter. I think you should listen to Lemonade album. You know what I'm saying? And be as strong as Beyonce and forgive your man for any infidelities he may have done.
All right,
Mama.
Why do we encourage people to be quitters?
Now tell him why you're mad. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, you can call us. We'll put you live on the air. And when we come back, we have comedian and actor Dion Cole. Now, he's from Black-ish. And what else is he on?
Charlie from Black-ish.
And he's on Angie Tribeca. He's a writer for Conan.
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll kick it with him when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
That's right. You see him on Black-ish every week. My man, Dion Cole.
What's happening, sir? What's going
Charlie.
On?
Charlie. Hey, man, Chicago's having a moment between you and Lil Rel. It's like all you Black Chicago Negroes on the TV.
I know. Oh, it's crazy.
How'd that happen?
I don't know. It just blew up.
Yeah, y'all came up together, right?
Yeah. Lil Rel was like under me or whatever. I came up with like Corey Holcomb. Couple other comics, yeah, we all came up together in Chicago. But yeah, Larell was up under me, D-Ray was up under me. I raised D-Ray. And so, yeah.
It's amazing how you got started doing comedy. Because a lot of people would be like, oh, you're funny, you should try stand-up. Or a lot of people think they can do stand-up.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, see, the thing about Chicago comics are we more like characters. More than just comics. You know, nowadays you can't just be funny. You know, you got to be character within yourself and have your own identity, you know what I'm saying? Not like a gimmick where you like, I'm Hilarious Henry. You don't want to be like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You'll be your own guy. Like, Busta Rhymes is his own guy. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's, you know, like that. You know, Motsy.
Now, I was growing up in Chicago, because Chicago's pretty rough.
Yeah, how you avoid not getting shot, especially always telling jokes?
Man, pimps used to be like, they used to give us passes. Like, if they knew that you was in arts or you studied or whatever, they'd be like, yo, let him do his thing, and they'll, like, leave you alone or whatever. But my mother moved me from the city to the suburbs, and I ended up fighting more out there.
Really?
Yeah, because it was all white out there, and I was fighting more for racial equality more than gangbanging fights, you know.
The jokes weren't landing in the white neighborhood, huh?
Nah, I wasn't even no joking stuff, man. I was like, you know, I was real, very observant, really chill. Yeah. I was a super chill dude, you know what I mean?
Did you start comedy on a dare for real?
Yeah, dude bet me like $50, told me to go on stage. And I was
Y'all in the club, or y'all were hanging out, or you just was like,
no, we was watching. Actually, we was watching Eddie Murphy's Delirious, and my boy was like, "I bet you can do that." And I was like, "Nah, I can't do that." And he was like, "I bet you $50." I was like, "All right, let's try it. Let me go down here and see."
$50, I can do it.
Yeah.
Y'all went to a comedy club or something?
Yeah, yeah. It's a comedy club called All Jokes Aside in Chicago. Yeah, we went down there.
How old were you?
22.
You remember any of the jokes you said? Like, I mean, because you didn't have a set then. So
nah, I had this joke called. It was a Sunny Delight joke. It was like the white kid opened the refrigerator and all his friends drank all their juice. And I was like, that wouldn't be in the black neighborhood. You had to drink out of water hose or something like that. I don't know.
It's probably funnier when you did it.
Yeah.
That's why it was my first joke.
Yeah. I don't know about that.
All right,
you've
like
come
this.
A long way. All right.
That was my first joke.
But how did it go? Did they boo you? Huh? Did they boo you?
My career took, when I first started, it was crazy. I was like, getting like standing ovations and people was loving me and everything. I got on Def Jam like 10 months after I started. I was on Def Jam. But
now, I heard you got kicked off Def Jam.
I was about to say, what make you is what break you. I got kicked off because I only had like 14 minutes of material and I did 7 on TV. And then when we went on tour, they was asking me to do 25. And I was out there doing knock knock jokes and anything to stretch the time, you know what I mean?
I was.
That's like, the worst feeling
like
in the world.
Black man, white man, Chinese man.
Welcome to a bar.
So I was like, you know, but when they kicked me off, that was the beginning of me writing too. I was like, yo, I gotta start writing. Mm-hmm.
So hold on. So they kicked you off Def Comedy Jam, but then I heard you went to go perform on Conan.
Yeah.
But you took those 7 minutes to Conan?
No, so after that, I started writing, and they asked me to go on Conan and do some time, and I did like 4.5 minutes on Conan, and two weeks later, Conan came to me and was like, man, I want you to come star with me. I'm gonna buy you out of everything, and I mean, like, we gonna take you out of all your contracts, and you come star here, and I'm like, really? Being the only black African-American to write, because they never had no black writers.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting up like, okay, what do you want me to write? And they was just like, just come on board. So when I went over there, you know, I almost left because I knew I didn't fit in because there was so many white writers and they all went to like Brown University. They had Emmys and all of that and didn't think I was going to fit in. And I tried to write like them and it just wasn't popping off. So after a while, I just started thinking the situations that we did clash on and start writing like that. And then he was like, man, you should go out on stage and do it. And they was bringing me out and they was writing me in TV Guide as, you know, next star and all this stuff. And then Jay Leno happened.
What happened with Jay Leno? Tell me about Jay Leno.
After that, the Jay Leno situation happened. It was like, yo, wait a minute. Like I'm thinking like, yo, we about to take off. Mm-hmm. And Conan was like, he was going to leave. And we was like, man, so they banned him from TV. And so I was like, all right, let me just go on the road again. Because, you know, I'm just like, man, okay. But I knew that I paved the way for a lot of black comedians to have another avenue, which is late night television. Mm-hmm. And then they still weren't hiring black writers. Mm-hmm. You know, so I still was trying to keep that door open, too. But then all of a sudden, Conan wanted to go on tour, and he took me on tour with him. And we toured, and next thing I know, I was nominated for 2 Emmys. And
dope.
It worked.
It's not like the traditional route that people go.
Yeah,
you know, which is really what's great.
It's never a traditional route. Everybody path different.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
But when you're sitting in the room with all these other writers and you're like, okay, these are all white guys. They went to Brown. They went to all these schools for mm-hmm. writing and all know each other. That's definitely not traditionally what he was looking for.
Nah, nah. And he never said what he was looking right. for. He just was like, come on board. Right. And so it got to the point where it was like we're sitting in the room and they was trying to write a joke about Andy, the co-host, Andy Richter, about him going to Oktoberfest, mm-hmm. which is a German drinking day. I didn't know what it was. And they had to explain it to me. And I remember I was like, black people don't have no drinking day. We need our own drinking day. And they was like, write that up. And I went and wrote it up. And they was like, now go perform it on stage. After they seen that dynamic happen with me and Conan, where he's out of line with black culture, in a sense,
right.
it became like NBC was like, ah.
What's our drinking day?
Let's go out there and explain.
Yeah, what is it? What is our drinking day?
Oh, what is our drinking day? Oh, April 15th.
Why April 15th?
Taxes. You did some stuff for the White House, too,
the
right?
Correspondent.
Huh? You did some stuff for the White House.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Actually, I just
You wrote the nigga joke?
No, for the White House.
No,
you told her to call Barack a nigga.
No, I ain't right there. No. I just wrote one line. It was one line I wrote when he did the White House Correspondence Dinner. I had to think about LL Cool J that he did. That was it. But yeah, we
you can put that on the resume.
Yeah, that goes on the resume. You damn right.
I do.
All right, we got more with Dion Cole when we come back. Keep it locked. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We have Dion Cole in the building now. Charlamagne?
Now, I remember you said Steve Harvey told you that if you can make an audience quiet, that's just as good as laughter. That scared me.
Nah, that's real, though, because it shows that you're in control. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. You're in control, and you can handle an audience. You know, like, if I can sit there and be like, hey, check this out. Like that means I can dictate where I want to go.
They listening.
Yeah, yeah, you know, and so it's just something that he taught me. He was like, man, that's just as good as making, like, a whole audience laugh.
That's so true. I went to a comedy show at Caroline's one time, and one of the opening acts wasn't that great. And when I tell you, everybody was just talking, eating. All you heard was food, like, sports clinking, people having conversation. That had to be the way. I felt bad.
YouTube you should talk videos. About Donnell Rollins like that.
It wasn't Donnell. Shut up. Definitely not Donnell. It was the opening act. But I feel you on that, because if you can have people just listening, waiting to hear what you're about to say, and they're so pink, because it is hard to get people to not talk to each other. They're having drinks, they're ordering.
Yeah, if you can get them to be quiet, it's mm-hmm. just as good as making them laugh or whatever, because they listening.
Right.
Sometimes when you're laughing, you're missing what I'm saying next. So, you know, that's just a good trait to have and learn if you know, doing stand-up.
Now, what was your worst show ever? You had to have a bad
Envy
one.
Envy always got
to ask. You had to bomb at least once.
Yeah, besides the first one, what was the
Ja Rule, Indianapolis.
Oh, you remember that clearly.
Ja Rule booed you?
It was a bris night. I ain't even lying. No, I went and opened. I was opening for Ja Rule, and I went out there, and they just was, like, booing me. And they were throwing stuff at me that shouldn't have been at rap concerts, like golf balls and coat hangers, like a wooden coat hanger. I remember, so I was like, who got a wooden coat hanger here? Then they was throwing concession stand drinks, not just like pops, right. like cans, the concession joints,
yeah.
the lids pop off. And when they hit you, Jack, you just be sticky, you gotta sit around.
What the hell did you say that they got so mad?
Hi.
They wanted Ja Rule.
They didn't care about nothing I had to say. And I was like, I ain't leaving until y'all listen to me. Then all of a sudden I hear the promoter going, get your ass off stage. And I was like, damn. Had to leave, and man, yeah, but I still remember that like it was yesterday.
Have you been back there since? Just for your ego?
No.
That traumatized.
I want to, but I just not. I have not been back there.
Yeah.
I just I just haven't been back there. Or whatever.
Has life changed since the sitcom? Because when I say Dion Cole, people be like, who? And I'm like, Dion, you know Charlie from Black-ish. Anthony Anderson, black friend of the job. They're like, oh, yeah, he's funny as hell.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like, right now, it's a tripped out time, man. I done went from 0 to 60 because I got like an audience that's kind of like different. I still have like my Conan audience because I still do bits on Conan or whatever. And I have another show that I'm on called Angie Tribeca, mm-hmm. which is on TBS with written and produced by Steve Carell and Nancy Carell.
So
yeah,
nice.
And Rashida Jones. Mm-hmm. And we have a show on TBS and actually a new season coming up. And with that and juggling Blackish at the same time, it was kind of difficult. And Conan, like doing Conan bits like when I can or whatever. But yeah, but it's changed now. Like going from not doing anything to in a couple years, you on 3 different TV shows.
Are you coming back to Blackish?
I did already.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like I came back and did the 4. That's what I had to do. I had to leave and go do Angie because everybody was going crazy mm-hmm. when I left. But it was like I had to go leave and because I had Angie Tribeca before I had Blackish. A lot of people didn't know that. So I had to. I just went to Blackish to write. Mm-hmm. I wasn't even supposed to be on Blackish. The guy that was supposed to play Charlie didn't make it.
Who was it, you know?
Nah.
He's like, I'm not going to. He's like, I'm not going to say it. He said, no, that's like, such a lie. Board. This is why men can't lie. He said, nah.
Did you cheat?
Nah.
I just got hate. That ain't cheating.
Nah, but yeah, I went and, man, and I went and played that character, and it just kind of, it just took off, man.
One of my favorite episodes is the one with Amber Rose. Did you really try her? She was your girlfriend on the show.
Did I try her?
Yeah.
Man, Amber was so fine, man. I ain't gonna lie. Like, we was messing up on purpose. Shout out to Amber. Yeah. I was kept going, okay, no, I forgot my line. No, okay, let's do it again.
She was actually good, though.
Yeah,
she been a dope recurring character.
She was good. And like, I mean, surprisingly, she played that, like, fantastic. Like, a lot of people was like, man, how she gonna do or whatever? And I was like, nah, y'all need to see Amber. Amber really got it in, you know? So, yeah, shout out to Amber, man. She did that thing.
When you in those situations, do you gotta flush, like, all the lustful thoughts out your mind before you can, like, do your thing?
No.
It probably helps.
That's the perk of it. you just have to act accordingly, but your mind can go wild.
Yeah. Jack.
All right, keep it locked. We got more with comedian, actor Dion Cole when we come back. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We have Dion Cole in an interview. We have Dion Cole in the building. How was Barbershop?
Oh, Barbershop was crazy, man. Just, I was the least famous in the whole movie. It was crazy. It was so many entourages and makeup artists and all these people on the set. All I had was Carmex. I just would do this and go action and not go out there and do my set. But yeah, Barbershop was crazy, mm-hmm. man. It was a shout out to Cube and everybody. But yeah, that was
the worst with all those entourages because you had so many different people, so many different artists, so many different celebrities.
Yeah, but you know what? I thought it was going to be like really, really crazy, like ego-wise, mm-hmm. but it wasn't. Everybody mm-hmm. was like just chilling in their own little world. Everybody would be on their phone, mm-hmm. or we'll talk and conversate and kick it or whatever. We even went out a couple nights and went to party, but it wasn't like I thought it was going to be. I did. I was thinking like, yeah, everybody going to have kind of egos mm-hmm. and be bugging, but nah, it was
dope.
Absolutely love.
Is it hard being a writer, especially being that you're on TV and because you do stand-up, like just writing for other people? Is it hard to give away that good-ass material sometimes?
Yeah, sometimes it is, especially when you're doing, like, I'm in a very unique situation that a lot of people don't even realize to have the networks be cool with me working on different shows. You know, that's very, very unusual because once you're on the show, you're on that show. But for me to work and do all those shows when I do get a chance to write and go out or whatever, yeah, it's hard for me to kind of like write like I used to, you mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? And when I do give people material, it's like, you know, like I be feeling like, man, you better cherish that. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, or I could keep it, you know what I mean? But yeah, it's hard though.
Do a lot of other stand-up comics ask you to write for them? Is that frowned upon?
It is in a sense, but a lot of them, like, you just don't even say who it is. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't say who their names is or whatever. And you, like, throw them a little bone or whatever every now and then, whatever. I used to write for Cat Williams, though. So.
Really?
Really?
Yeah. I wrote for Nick Cannon. Mm. I wrote for
Kid. I wouldn't admit to that.
No, it was quick. It was quick. It was quick. It was real quick. And Cat never used nothing that I wrote for him.
Oh, but how did you end up writing for Cat?
No, I wrote a gang stuff for him, and he was like, "I'm gonna do it," but right. he never did.
How did you
it.
End up writing for Cat?
Man, this dude named D. Militant asked me to come on and write for him, and I was like, "All right, cool. You know, I'll go over there and I'll write some stuff for him, whatever." It was wild style, boy.
Everybody always tells me that Cat has always been this way. We just now seeing it.
Now, Cat always been. Now, well, what y'all seeing now, I don't know what's going on. But I know Cat good people. He a brilliant dude. You don't know if he just doing that or if he not. Like, right. Cat be on a whole nother level of marketing and whatever. Like, I remember one time Cat had a surprise birthday party at his house. And everybody was like, yo, we're going to surprise him and cut the lights on. And I was sitting there like, nah, that ain't a good idea. I was like, I'm going to have him behind the grill because everybody cut the lights on. Can't pull out 2 9s and just let everybody have it up in there. I was like, nah, I ain't doing that. No, I said, I was thinking that. I was like, what if they do that?
When they surprised him.
What was crazy, like, when everybody was like, it was quiet. And it was like, cut the lights on there. I was like, surprise! And he just stood there, and he looked at everybody, and then he walked right to his room.
What?
Everybody was standing there with streamers and hats, balloons.
He wasn't too happy.
Everybody was looking around like, he went right to his room.
That's crazy.
He never came back down?
He came back down about an hour later and sat in a throne and opened gifts. And when he was opening the gifts, he'd take the
like
paper.
A baby shower.
And he'd throw the paper, and these girls would catch it before it hit the ground.
What?
God damn.
That's crazy.
Cat on a whole nother level, Jack. Shout out to Cat.
You wrote for Nick Cannon for his stand ups?
They wrote Gigolo.
Yeah. Said I wrote Gigolo. Yeah. I went.
You know his stand ups were terrible.
Yeah, me and him got together and I wrote some stuff and he never used anything that I wrote.
Now, nobody ever used that stuff.
I be writing good stuff, man. I be like, here.
If people don't use it, do you still get paid?
Still get paid. Yeah, my first writing gig, honestly, was Ricky Smiley. I wrote for him when he was doing a Comic View or whatever. But yeah, you still get paid. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
can you admit that? All right, say you wrote for Nick. You watch his stand-up special, it's whack, and you be like, oh, man, you should have used my stuff. But what if it was good? Could you be like, all right. Could you just give it up to him and be like, okay, I get it.
I would be like, man, you did it. Like, way to go.
Yeah.
Nick didn't even use it. Nick was like this, oh, man, that's fire. I can't wait to use it. And then I'll watch him later on, and he'll never use it. And I'd be like, man, it had me going, what am I doing wrong?
All right, we got more with Dion Cole when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We have Dion Cole in the building.
Is Delirious your favorite stand-up, since that's kind of how you got into this?
Man, what's so weird, though, I love Delirious, but I also love, like, Ellen DeGeneres and George Garland, Stephen Wright. I like a lot of, like, comics that's kind of left, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, that's the kind of comedian I try to be. You know, I came up in an era where you needed a catchphrase, you needed a suit with shoulder pads in it, and you know, in the big green suits, you need to come out and, all right now, and hey, come on, y'all, come on, let's do it, come on. Like I came up in that era, but I was more like a dude that was just on some different stuff, man. You know, I used to, a lot of people know me from using my notepad on stage. I used to like check off jokes and read them and check them off or whatever, because I used to be so high I can't remember.
Damn.
So I used to have a notepad.
You still smoke that crazy or no?
Nope. I quit.
You had a bad trip?
Yeah.
What happened?
Man, got super, super tore off, and with this comedian named Honest John, brought some Cali bud and had me in a whole nother world, Jack. And I was like, nah, I can't keep doing this.
Was it like one bad thing that happened? Like,
I just couldn't. I was paying attention to my breathing. You know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You ever do that?
Yeah.
When you get high, you be like
you having a heart attack or something.
Yeah. Inhale, exhale. I was doing that, and I was like, nah, I can't keep doing this.
Was it just weed, or was it something in it?
No, it was just weed.
It was powerful Cali weed.
Yeah, it was that Cali. Like, man, yeah.
Smoke
like,
regular.
Like, I was doing
Everybody
that.
Everybody want to smoke loud, turn the volume down a little bit.
I know, but nah. I didn't even know. That was the first time I smoked it or whatever. And I was like, you know what? I'm done. I'm good. I had a good run.
Do you feel one. Like I know sometimes for people but smoking helps them with their process.
Yeah, and they used to do that with me too, but I had to quit. I had a problem. I was spending like $2,800 a month, like Ooh. On like weed and liquor and cigarettes and all of that. I was
the cigarettes, so yeah, the liquor moderation. Weed ain't too bad.
Yeah, see, I'm type.
You have to we cut
gonna
it all
do
out.
What we
yeah.
gonna do.
Yeah.
We gonna do it. Let's get
you
it.
You can't just have one drink.
No. Why we doing that? Why we even start?
You did a cold turkey on your own? You went cold turkey on your own? Or
yeah. Okay. Yep. I went cold turkey. I was supposed to go to Chicago one day for Thanksgiving. I was on break from Conan, and I was like, you know what? I'm spending these 2 weeks just kicking this. And now. Went and bought a carton of cigarettes, threw them all away, kept one, and locked myself in my place for 2 weeks.
Damn.
Just didn't do anything.
So no weed, no alcohol, no cigarettes now?
Nah, like I might, don't get me wrong. Nah, I might smoke once every 6 months. Something like that, you know. But it's enjoyable then, you know what I mean? But not on a constant basis.
You feel like your head is clearer now?
Yeah, sometimes I be feeling like I'm a little lame, but at the same token, I still feel like right. I'm sharper, though.
Right.
You know, but when I used to get high and drunk, I didn't care a lot, neither. Right. So now I got memories I remember. And, you know, it's all
I got memories I remember.
Now you're going to be at Caroline's all weekend long.
You finish it, you done.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, Caroline's all week long. Yeah, I got an hour special on Comedy Central, too, June 25th.
Okay. What's the name of it?
It's called Cold Blooded Seminar, Capitol Hill, right outside Capitol Hill. So, you know, I'm just trying to stay afloat, man. And thank y'all for having me, too.
You're doing fine, bro. Just get the money, have sex with all the white women you can. Enjoy life, man.
All the white women.
I know you have sex with a lot of white women. Between Conan and Blackish?
It's a lot of white women around.
Absolutely.
It's a lot of white women around.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, we appreciate you joining us. It's Dion Cole.
Thank y'all.
It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Charlamagne, say the gang, dunk it utter shame. Charlamagne.
You are a donkey. It's time for Donkey of the Day.
Donkey of the Day does not discriminate.
I might not have the song of the day, but I got the donkey of the day.
So if you ever feel I need to be a donkey, man, hit me with the heat.
Yeah, it's The Breakfast Club, bitches.
Who's Donkey of the Day today?
Yes, donkey today for Friday, May 13th, goes to Dr. Malachi Love Robinson. Now, I'm not going to lie. I respect this young man.
Mm.
Okay, he's 18 years old and has been charged with posing as a doctor. Yes, Dr. Malachi Love Robinson posed as a medical professional, and he treated patients in West Palm Beach, Florida. Now, this isn't the first time. Last year, he allegedly posed as a doctor at St. Mary's Medical Center. He was 17 years old at the time, and even though he got caught in a pregnant woman's exam, he said he was simply shadowing physicians. How did he even get in the room? Then several months later in October, Malachi received a cease and desist order from the Department of Health when they discovered he was working as an unlicensed massage therapist at a local rehabilitation facility. Drop one of Clue's bombs for Malachi Love Robinson. This kid is a borderline genius, okay? I absolutely respect his hustle. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, if you respect his hustle, why are you giving him donkey today? I'll get to that, but let me keep giving you some of this story. Now, Dr. Malachi Love Robinson was arrested this past Tuesday and accused of practicing medicine without a license, okay? He was the head of his own practice. According to his website, he was the president, CEO, and founder of his own practice. Now, the way he got taken down was an undercover officer visited his office, mm-hmm. and Dr. Robinson gave him a physical and provided medical advice to him.
Are we keeping score here? At 17 years old, he gives himself an internship and shadows physicians. All right? He wanted to learn how to give massages, so he poses a massage therapist. This kid at 18 years old opens up his own practice, went and got his own office, had a website, patients coming. He had a lab coat, a stethoscope. Only thing he didn't have was a medical license, but who cares? Drop one of Clues bombs for his ambition. All right? So many of y'all out here pretending to be things that don't contribute anything to the culture. This man was pretending to be a doctor. What about you guys who pretend to be drug dealers and gangsters, grown-ass men pretending to be Crips and Bloods at 30-plus? I have to respect young Dr. Love for at least having the right energy. He's just going in the wrong direction with it. Now, he sat down with WBTV, and they put the young man under pressure. Let's hear it.
Were you a doctor of anything at all?
I do currently hold a PhD in what I don't feel comfortable disclosing because that is not the issue here.
But the teen who goes by Dr. Love does advertise an array of treatments on his medical center website, including phototherapy, food and air therapy, and naturopathy. Are you a fraud? Because it seems like everything you're saying to me is either evasive or an outright lie.
I don't appreciate your tone. I don't appreciate the way you're portraying this interview to actually be.
Are you in big trouble? I mean, it seems like you've spoken to a lawyer who's prepared you for not only media, but the police as well.
I don't know where you're receiving this information from, but it is inaccurate. I'm sorry, I'm going to have to cut this interview short. I'm going to have to cut this interview short.
And that's exactly what he did. Look, forget all those questions. My first question would have been, where did you get the money from to do all this? Okay, I need to know where you got that money, because there's grown-ass people out here who can't find money for bills and rent, but this 18-year-old kid had money to start his own medical practice? Once again, I respect this kid's hustle and I love his energy. He's just going in the wrong direction with it. My brother Malachi, all the time you spent pretending to be a doctor, using money to open up offices, all of that energy you spent trying to deceive people could have simply been used on you actually going to medical school. Kids, there are no shortcuts. There's no escaping the process. If you want to be a medical doctor, I got an idea. How about you do what all these other doctors did? Go to medical school for it. Okay, you kids want everything so fast. Slow down. Simmer down. Don't hurry. Trust the process. The crazy thing is, you're going through a process regardless. It's just the process you're choosing to do is the criminal one. So why not take the energy and transfer it through the right process, which is medical school? Hey, Dr. Malachi Love Robinson, I respect the energy of your hustle, but I don't respect the actual hustle, because to me, you're hustling backwards. Stop trying to figure out how to manipulate the system you want to be in and actually put yourself in the system you're trying to manipulate. If you want to be a doctor, you can actually do that by simply going to school. Give Dr. Malachi Love Robinson the biggest hee-haw, please.
Did you know that he's also a reverend?
I doubt it. That's probably, he's pretending to be that.
No,
too.
He's a reverend also. He was ordained and everything.
Who
in
said
2014.
That? I can't believe this man. He's been lying about being a doctor, so I refuse to believe anything else you tell me.
The bishop, who's the head of the missionary chapel and seminary, said that they have temporarily rescinded his credentials and church charter pending the outcome of these other charges.
That's crazy.
If you say that you specialize in phototherapy and air therapy, if your dumbass goes to see a doctor that specializes in phototherapy and air therapy, I don't even know what the hell those are.
I specialize in Photoshop. Is that?
No, that's not.
What's phototherapy? That's not the same thing?
It's when you got to take 5 selfies a day to make yourself feel better.
Okay. Thank you for that donkey today. Now, when we come back, it's Freaky, Freaky, Freaky Friday. And we have our resident sexologist, Michelle Hope, offering up some tips in sex ed when we come back. Keep it locked. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Best. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. It's Friday, so you know what that means.
It's Freaky Friday.
We have our sexologist, our resident sexologist, Michelle Hope, in the building. Good morning.
How you doing?
That's why it's Freaky, Freaky, Freaky Friday.
She's a sexologist. I know you're thinking, what is a sexologist? Those don't exist, but they do.
They do exist.
Yes.
I work more in the ology. I can do sex, but I am not a surrogate.
You can do sex, okay.
Yeah, I'm not the one that's going to sit there and watch you have sex with your partner and be like, you know what? Maybe go a little faster or maybe go a little slower. I do kind of the before and after. So, like, how do you tell your partner, I really want you to go a little faster?
Gotcha.
You know,
you gotta say things in a capacitive way.
I did.
What was the degree?
Sex.
There's no degree in sex.
Sex studies.
There actually are some places that there's like two universities that, and there's Indiana University has a good department.
Indiana Howard University?
Yeah, UPenn has a good university. But the idea is, I studied human development, and I also did some work with marriage family therapy, specializing in African-American family studies. I'm really fascinated at how our community looks at sex and sexuality, and what are the implications to our community as a whole. When you look at rates of STIs, single motherhood, domestic violence, and sexual assault, it's extremely disproportionate in comparison to other races when you look at the African-American community and our Black and brown communities especially. So I think that there's conversations we need to start having to improve, you know, how we are all living as a people, you know? We oftentimes hear people talking about manhood and how do we, you know, teach our young boys to be more responsible. Well, how do you do that when you have 1.1 million fathers in the prison system, right? How do you teach a man to be a man if they're only men he's seeing and only images of men he's seeing on television are aggressive, are angry?
Well, men like to have sex with other men too, though.
And that's, I like that too. I mean, I'm open and I think that, but are we showing images of us doing positive things when it comes to sexuality?
Yeah.
I am not always the biggest fan of some of the things I see women doing, but I definitely want to shout out Amber Rose for the slut walk.
Okay.
Kind of pushing against the idea of slut shaming, because we have to stop that, because that's what perpetuates rape culture.
Like, yeah, I think it's always so taboo, and people are so shocked when women talk about sex. And I feel like that's been an issue. That's why we had you on the Lip Service podcast, but that was the whole point of doing that, is to give those conversations, because where do you learn about different things, and where do you learn that what you're doing is not disgusting or shouldn't be talked about?
But that's one of the reasons people like the Amber Roses of the world, because they're not afraid to talk about sex. And, you know, we always have a theory that is, quote-unquote good girls are jealous of Amber Rose because Amber is free with her sexuality, and they would like to be.
But I think that the conversation should be, shouldn't we all be free?
Yes.
And doesn't sex and sexuality and what sex looks like come in a lot of different forms?
Yes, it does come.
So, yes, it does. No pun intended. Yeah. But I think that, you know, with Amber Rose being so free, she also gets a lot of backlash, right? And then for women who feel like they're stifled in their sexuality, they might not get as much sex.
But it seems like kids are having and indulging in sex a little too early now because they see it more. I remember as a kid, you didn't see that much sex. It wasn't on television. There wasn't too many strip clubs.
You couldn't just go online and look at porn free.
Exactly.
You heard about PIDE, right? Porn-induced erectile dysfunction.
Oh, it's a real thing.
You've seen that more, and kids are starting to have sex a lot younger now, which is very scary.
Well, I think that what we have to focus on is thinking about how are we educating these kids to sex? So if it's out there already, right, why aren't we doing federally mandated sex ed K through 12, age appropriate, right?
Like K?
Yes, K. But in K, we're not talking about sex. We're talking about who are the trusted adults in your life if something happens and you need to have a conversation.
Gotcha.
We can avoid a lot of child molestation, a lot of child trafficking, if we could start having conversations around values when it comes to healthy relationships.
True.
Right. All right, shout out to Michelle Hope for joining us. We have more when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We have our resident sexologist, Michelle Hope, in the building. She'll help you out with all your problems and needs.
I'm always a big proponent of, number one, knowing your status, and number two, communicating, right? So just as much as I would say, you know, I really like it when you pull my hair, or I want to be able to say, when's the last time you were tested?
Right.
Let's talk about that.
That's interesting. My homegirl hit me the other day, and she said that she doesn't want her future baby daddy to have sickle cell or lupus. And she was asking me, is that wrong to ask a man that when you're in a relationship? Like, when you first start dating a man, like, do you have sickle cell genes or lupus genes or something like that?
No, I don't think at our age. I mean, maybe, like...
She's young, too. She's, like, 22, 23.
Oh, well, I mean, is she looking to have a baby right away? Because
I don't know.
So I think that those kinds of questions aren't off the table. I'm a firm believer that you should ask, like, you ever had an STD?
Yeah. I think if you're sleeping with somebody, you should be able to ask them anything you want to ask them.
That's what, hey, if you're about to put their fingers, mouth, and penis in places, you know.
Why
you
am I scared to ask a question?
Yeah, right.
Hey, do you have sickle cell in your family?
Right. And if you're trying to make a baby, you're laying down with somebody, you're not using protection, you should really be able to ask, right? Like, you want to be able to ask, like, when's the last time you were tested? And if you really want to do Netflix and chill, just pop right on over to your local drugstore, pick you up an OraQuick test, and be like, bam, we can do this right here. You can get OraQuick, HIV tests, rapid tests.
I'm going to tell you why that's not a good idea. It's not a good idea because if I haven't been tested in a while, last thing I want to do is take an oral quick test when I'm about to watch season 2 of Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt and I'm positive right there on the couch. Like, yeah. that's not good. You're absolutely right.
But maybe not for you, but for the woman who's about to have sex with you, that's absolutely positively good.
Yeah,
well, it's good for you, good too, because now you can get the help you need.
Right. Don't you want to know?
Yeah, but I don't want her to know.
So you don't have to do it. you can go in the bathroom.
I'm going to take an oral quick test right before we about to watch Daredevil. It's positive, and she's just going to be like, oh, cool. She's going to tweet about it immediately.
You don't have to do it right there in front of her, but at some point, you know, you can agree to do something.
But when you leave that night, she'll know.
Right. Well, I think that for me, the idea is maybe not on a Netflix date, but that you can have access to finding out. It's right there. It's $39. Right. Also, there are a ton of clinics that you can go and get a free HIV test. You know, as African Americans, we make up approximately 16% of the population, but we make up over 50% of the HIV positive population in the United States.
Yeah, I read some crazy stats this morning from my hometown of Charleston, South Carolina. It's like disgusting.
Yeah, and it's interesting because places like South Carolina, where they don't mandate sex education, are also places that have higher rates of STIs.
Wow.
Now, if you are HIV positive, how do you tell somebody? Does that mean that you shouldn't be even trying to go out and have sex?
Or? No, because we have things like PrEP. We have things like PEP. If you're on your meds, you're taking your antiretrovirals.
Like Charlie Sheen said, it was undetectable.
Yeah, just like Magic Johnson.
That's what I would do. I'd show up in a Magic Johnson jersey and put on 2.5 Men when Charlie Sheen used to be on. She'll get the hint.
Right, like,
Just keep coughing.
Yeah. But no, I don't want people to get that idea. That is a misconception and a myth, and those are the myths we're really trying to squash. The idea is that, you know, if you're undetectable, that means you're undetectable. And that also means that you have a lower likelihood of passing the virus on to another person. Your viral loads are so low that it's not showing up in a test, right? So keeping yourself healthy is fine, and this is something you can live with. It's a manageable disease, like a lupus.
Yeah.
Right? It's very manageable. Lupus is a manageable disease. HIV now is a very manageable disease. If you know your status, you get tested, and then you're using condoms with your partner, it's very manageable. And if you have a partner that is HIV positive, I would advise you to go to the doctor and get on the PrEP. So,
you know, I had people one day saying that I was HIV AIDS shaming because I think we asked the question, would you have, because after Charlie Sheen, would you have sex with somebody if they told you that they were HIV positive? And I was like, no, I wouldn't.
I mean, it's up to every individual person what they want to do. But if you're using a condom, right, and you are, and that individual is on their antiretrovirals, you have a very low likelihood of contracting HIV. Is it impossible? No, it's not impossible. But the likelihood is low.
Was it like Powerball numbers? Like if I played a lottery?
It's low. I could say comfortably it's probably lower than 10% if you're using condoms, also dealing with somebody who's on their meds.
All right. Well, we have more with Michelle Hope when we come back. The sexologist. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God, we are The Breakfast Club. We have our resident sexologist, Michelle Hope, in the building.
Now, what about trying to talk a guy into something? There's a lot of guys that are really funny about their
anal area.
I'm talking to Michelle here. But they don't understand how much pleasure it could potentially give them. Now, I know women who say they do this to every guy they're with. The guys love
it. And they do it to disrespect them. I hear your friends talking. They act like they're doing it to give us pleasure, but they disrespect
us. You're looking disrespected right now. Just calm down.
Angry.
You have been with a couple of you friends, as you say. Angry. Allegedly.
But I think that, you know, first and foremost, the back door is not for everybody. Mm-hmm. Second of all, don't knock it till you try it.
Right.
Right? And number three, it does not make you a gay person or a gay man if you like a little bit of anal play. It makes you a freak. Like, you have the prostate gland, which can be accessed through the rectum, and there are so many nerve endings on that prostate, and they're never stimulated. They're never touched. They're never stimulated. Nothing. So the idea is, like, when you touch a part of somebody's body that's got some feeling...
That doesn't normally get touched, too.
Right? But have a clean butt, though. Please. Yeah, yeah. Like, please have a clean butt.
Wipe your ass.
I don't mind a tongue, but a whole finger, that's a bit much for me.
I mean, you work your way up.
Right. You just, if you like a tongue, you'll like a finger.
Now,
just
a little squirting?
Bit.
What about it?
Squirting is like a trophy. Like,
okay, what you're seeing on porn is probably urine.
Oh, okay.
Because when it's shooting across the room,
that doesn't really happen.
But the splash, like a.
I see. I got the splash, but I've never seen. I've been going for the shoot across the room. That can't happen.
That's not a shoot.
So that's regular in my life.
The shoot across the room?
Never mind. My wife wouldn't.
Did your wife want us to know this?
Right. I was like, this is getting real.
I can't shoot across the room. I get the splash. I get a little, but I want the.
But yeah, my vision or thought with that, and what I've seen in porn, and this is another reason why I think our society sexually is just askew. We've been watching too many porns. And it's so easy to access that people really start to believe that the sex we're seeing in porn is the sex that we're having. And it's not.
You ain't lying. I hurt my back this weekend watching the porn. I was watching this porn called Black Families, right?
And it
was
Black Families. I swear to God,
it was a black father. He had a black wife, two daughters. It was one white dude. It started off with the one white dude having sex with one of the daughters. And he was trying to sneak out the house. So as he's trying to escape the house, he ends up bumping into the mom, having sex with the mom.
You really?
Bumping
this story have this much story. I thought people just watched the sex part. So, you watched the whole plot.
Fast forwarding.
So I'm watching it. So my grown ass, well over the age of 30, tried that. Man, please.
You tried to stay
my
hard?
My back was hurting so bad. literally the next day, I was walking up the steps. I'm like, oh, what the hell happened?
It was all that good loving.
Yeah, black family porn.
Yeah, black family.
Right.
You watched the whole
black
thing
family.
Too?
Yeah, I mean, you have to understand, the average sex, it only lasts 3 to 5 minutes.
What?
That's really, yeah. The studies show it's like 3 to 5 minutes.
3 to 5 minutes.
So if I get 6 minutes, I'm above average.
But see, the problem, though, is we don't do enough foreplay.
Yeah, that's the problem.
We don't take the time to talk about what we like.
Right.
So we don't know, like, maybe somebody into a little popping. Like, what happened to the days where somebody, like, took pride in getting to second base?
Mm-hmm. Second base was the finger.
Wait, what? No, it wasn't. It's your boobs, right?
Oh, you're right.
You
kiss.
You like totally
kiss.
People
breast.
Stop loving
third
mammaries?
I always say that people don't do that anymore.
They
and
don't.
I always say that.
Because girls act like they don't like it no more.
No, we do like it. One. And two, you have to understand, for a man, it takes a man like 2 or 3 minutes to be ready and hit that plateau phase of the sexual response cycle. It takes a woman like 10 to 15 minutes.
So what's the right way to rub? Because I tend to do it like a DJ.
You know, DJ?
What's the right way?
There is no right way. Just rub it.
I'm so mad. Like, that's not how you DJ.
I think.
Is that how I DJ?
But yeah, I think that the way to rub is the way to. You have to understand. So it has a hood.
By the way,
for,
she flipped her dress a little bit when she did that. I ain't gonna lie.
For a reason. Because I'm thinking about. So it has a hood for a reason. The reason is because in the clitoris, there's like 5,000 nerve endings. So the hood is there to protect kind of like an uncircumcised penis.
Mm-hmm.
Like, did you know uncircumcised penises are more sensitive than circumcised penises?
I didn't know that.
I heard a dude say that.
You got a little extra skin on yours.
I had a little skin bridge. It's no longer there, though. I got a cut when I was 17.
Oh, what'd that feel like?
I don't know. I miss it, though.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about it lately. I don't know why.
You know you could regrow it.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, you could regrow it.
Plant some seeds.
Yeah, so the idea is that it keeps it from being overexposed or overstimulated, because then it can become painful. There are some contraptions and some devices. It's just skin stretching. So you would stretch the skin.
You could do that to your whole penis, maybe.
No, but I was fully circumcised. I just had like a bridge from like real small.
Finish with the hood.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
So you got a little leftover. So the hood is there. Yeah. So if you kind of pull the hood back to expose, but you definitely would want to have a little moisture on your finger. Lube it up. Uber lube is a great lube. Little goes a long way.
Uber delivers.
Uber lube.
No, it's a German lube. It's like medical grade silicone lube. You can remove eye makeup with it. Sometimes I use it for flyaways in my hair.
You got to come up here more often.
On all my social media, at MHSexpert, www.MHSexpert.com.
All right, shout out to Michelle Hope for joining us. When we come back, we got my mix, the People's Choice mix, and this is a special mix. Because today is my anniversary with my wife. So we're going to celebrate. We're going to enjoy this mix. And it's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is Kurtwood Smith. You remember me from such TV comedies as That 70s Show and That 90s Show on Netflix. I'll never forget the words that my grandfather said just before he kicked the bucket. He said, "Watch how far I can kick this bucket." People ask me where I get my dad jokes from. I tell them to listen to the Daily Dad Jokes podcast. Listen to Daily Dad Jokes every day on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids. Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast, and I had the opportunity to talk to one of Hollywood's major icons, Michael B. Jordan. In our conversation, Michael shares the highs, the lows, and everything in between, offering a genuine glimpse into his world.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. People give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.